but nature does not allow any vacuum. Wouldn't that be happy? Jingna will be leading the delegation from the board side. CEO and your executives, we are most welcome. Members, we are also welcome, welcoming yourself. No, we are about to start our work in the main, the presentation by BSA on their annual report. But before we proceed, I must just remind members that the Media Freedom Day seminar is continuing Friday. The venue will be GCIS in Imbizo Center here in Parliament. That is proceeding for Friday. But the information in relation to that will be circulated to you before we finish today and the program. I've got an apology from Honorable Van der Merwe of the IFP attending the Women, Children and People with Disability Committee. She will join us if she happens to finish early. Honorable Mruto started at Arts and Culture. She will join us if she finishes. The rest, or Honorable Killen also, she won't start with us. The rest, they'll be joining us as we proceed. I know that Honorable Schneeman, because of the programming work, he must be able to, or he will be attending Chief Whip's Forum. I'm sure he's going to meet with Honorable Killen there. in the part of their work. But we'll have to proceed, members. Tomorrow we'll be taking the program for DOC on the better part of the morning. We should be done probably around 12 or so. But they'll be coming tomorrow to make their presentation. They've indicated, of course, they are difficult because of the tight schedule, but I requested them that they must send people who could be able to make the presentation because we need it before next week. Thanks very much. Ntatunching, over to you. The next time I talk, it will be when we have finished your presentation and the members are taking questions from your presentation. Your introduction and your presentation should be around 45 minutes, everything combined. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you, Honourable Members. Would the Chair like me to introduce the members of the Board? Why don't we then start from that side? Tebe, just a quick one. Please don't give the whole CV.
My name is Pumelelo Nzimande and I'm a trustee at Brand SA.
My name is Mzimkulu Malunga. I'm a trustee of Brand SA.
And my name is Ryland Kishen. I'm a trustee at Brand South Africa.
My name is Dion Haisoma. I'm a trustee at Brand SA.
My name is Wayne Morris. I'm a trustee at Brand South Africa.
My name is Wendy. I'm not a trustee. I'm a part of the management team and the director for marketing and communications at Brand South Africa.
Morning. My name is Alice Puani. I'm the chief financial officer at Brand SA.
Good morning. My name is Bella Matola, the chief executive officer at Brand South Africa.
Thank you very much. My name is Happy Jingela. I'm the Deputy Chair of Brand South Africa. Just for control purposes, maybe I should just quickly restate what our mandate as Brand South Africa is, so that everything is seen within the context of what that mandate is. On the international front, ours is to build South Africa's nation brand reputation in order to improve our country's global competitiveness. And domestically, build pride and patriotism among South Africans and contribute to social cohesion and nation brand ambassadorship. I'll just start by restating a comment that came from the Auditor General in terms of our current financial year, where he said, in my opinion, the financial statements present fairly in all material respects the financial position of Brand South Africa as of 31 March 2013, and its financial performance and cash flows for the year then ended in accordance with the SA standards of GRAP and the requirements of the PFMA. In terms of our presentation, in the next, 40 minutes, we will deal with Brand South Africa's report, annual report highlights, the performance summary of the nation brand, overview of the 2012-13 strategy implementation, our performance results as far as that is concerned, financial statements, human resources report, and the way ahead. First, let me start with the highlights for 2013. Closer cooperation was forged between Brand South Africa and the various government partners and stakeholders that are out there, which is something that has been discussed at length and was discussed with yourselves earlier on when we came to see you. Again, the President appointed a new board or new members to the Brand South Africa Board of Trustees. Of course, there are still some members that were there before whose tenure had not finished at that time. And for the first time, we reported directly to the Presidency. And finally, we then launched our new payoff line, which I'm sure you've seen, which says inspiring new ways, which is basically the slogan that we append to everything that is attached to Brand South Africa. At this stage, I would like you to use that little contraption to put in your ears in order to listen to a small television advert that we're going to play to you. And encouraging active citizenship, pride, as well as patriotism among South Africans, because Brand South Africa does not belong just to us as an organization. It belongs to everybody in South Africa. It belongs to, and it behoves everyone to support it in order to make our country, for us to fulfill our mandate, as I mentioned earlier on. In terms of our increased support for reputation management, our Team South Africa's performance at the London Olympics, if you remember, how we performed last year proved to be quite a wonderful reputation enhancer for ourselves. Our UK and US offices did some extensive work post what happened at Marikana in order to offset that negative impact that was that happened against our country when the unfortunate events of Marikana happened. And of course, the strengthening of our global South Africanness program, which, by the way, the CEO will embellish on some of these things that I've mentioned. The one other thing that I'd like to mention now is that we had an app launched, a Brand South Africa app launched, for those who do have those smartphones that can talk to you. It is a very, very useful tool if you download the Brand South Africa app and you can see exactly what is going on in your country at the touch of a button. Of course, becoming a destination of choice, we continue to be a destination of choice, sometimes quite fortuitously, and we ended up hosting the African Cup of Nations at the beginning of this year. And of course, another boost for our reputation came with the announcement that South Africa was chosen to host the greater part of the £1.5 billion International Square Kilometre Array Radio Telescope. In terms of our global competitiveness, we improved our overall ranking and performance from 52nd to 50th in the Institute for Management Development Competitive Report 2012-13. Our country has been ranked 36th out of 50 countries in the annual GFK Roper Brand Index for the past 2 years. We are the third performing BRICS country on the Global Competitiveness Report, and Investor Perception Survey highlights the headway being made by us as a country positioning itself as a diverse and exciting investment destination. We ranked 5th overall on the Ibrahim Index for African Governance, and quarterly media tours were held, exposing our the international press to South Africa's business environment as well as the regulatory and policy systems in a bid to boost positive press coverage abroad for ourselves. In terms of the nation brand performance summary, I will then hand over to the CEO to take us through that summary, and hopefully he'll be able to delve into the detail of what actually happens in the back office, and we can then take it from there. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Chair. Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. Just to go through the nation brand performance, we split our performance between looking at how the country has performed versus how the organization that seeks to promote the country has performed. So what I'm sharing with you here is the performance of South Africa across a number of indices. And I will just touch on the headlines. The domestic perception audit, which is done annually, shows obviously that there's a continued increase in terms of South Africans seeing themselves as proud of South Africa, which also means commitment levels remain high, and at about 88%, 62% of South Africans believe the country is an ideal place to live, which is very important in terms of our play your part in active citizenship, as well as the increased pride and patriotism programs. So you'll see that that improved over the last year. We work with GCIS in obtaining that data for this, as well as with other research companies. The national brand reputation, the Chair has already alluded to the fact that for the past 2 years we've remained at 36 out of 50 nations, hence you'll see the arrows pointing both ways. In terms of the WEF Global Competitiveness Index, we declined by 2 points in 2012-13, but suffice to say that there were areas where South Africa still continues to rank very highly amongst the 144 or so countries. In terms of the international tracker, which is research that Brand South Africa does to test the perceptions of the investor community, you'll see that there was an improved reception in terms of perceptions about South Africa as a business destination amongst the investor community, showing that increasingly they are associating South Africa with a more diverse range of sectors as opposed to just the mining and the extractive industries. In terms of the reputation index, which is where we track the media reputation across more than 138 or so countries, you will see that the average reputation score when we closed off this year was at about 35%. We ideally seek to get to about 50% or 50 basis points. The challenge here would have been obviously issues around Marikana and the Oscar Pretorius matter. This is just to give you members a very quick high-level synopsis of the global competitiveness in terms of reputation, and we've given you an indication of the past 3 years. As we said, we're at 37 in 2010, we are at 36, which shows that the reputation is fairly stable. And then in terms of the ease of doing business, you'll also see that there's been a marked improvement for South Africa, and here what we've done is compare ourselves with countries such as Brazil, Russia, India, and China, And South Africa, actually, you see the numbers in brackets show where it ranks higher than its BRICS counterparts, showing that in a number of areas, more than five or so of those areas, South Africa ranks number one in terms of ease of doing business. Naturally, there are areas that we need to look at, trading across borders, as well as getting electricity. If you, also still a continuation of that same slide, the chair, and I will not delve into the details of it, but it's just really a comparison across the various pillars. In terms of the Human Development Index, you will see as well that as a country, there were some significant improvements in areas such as life expectancy, and I think this can be largely attributed to you know, the interventions in the area of health, the Department of Health, and what they are doing there. And also, you know, in areas of infant mortality. But at this point, what we are saying in terms of summary is that there were some significant improvements in performance by the country. We also track, you know, domestically how our people are responding to changes in their environment and whether they believe their lives are changing for the better. If we look at social mobility, South Africans see themselves as, you know, improving in terms of their class position versus their parents. So what they're saying is life is improving for the better for them. In terms of education, what we've done is compare ourselves with the BRICS as well as the next 11 markets where, for instance, with the next 11 markets on higher education and training as well as market size, South Africa compares fairly well. But that graph is meant to tell you that, however, the educated young people have obviously high levels of anxiety about whether they are going to get a job. So that reflects the issue around the concerns pertaining to youth unemployment. Class mobility, as we said earlier, you will see that South Africans generally are very optimistic about the future and believe that their lives are far better than obviously those of their parents. But also the movement across the class strata in South Africa quite clearly indicates that there's been a significant movement. Social cohesion, which is a part of our mandate as well, you will see that the majority of people in the survey that we did see themselves more as South Africans as opposed to being in the artificial boxes that they used to locate themselves before the apartheid era. In this case, you will see that 52% of South Africans see themselves as South Africans, which is reflecting an increased social cohesion or a more cohesive society. Active citizenship, as the chair indicated, we have a program that we run for active citizenship, so we test the extent to which South Africans are getting involved. And here, the majority of South Africans are proud to be South Africans, but more importantly, they will do whatever it takes to make the country a better place via the spoken word or active participation in their communities. Hence, we have a program that also seeks to promote and highlight active citizenship. Confidence levels, you will see that there's strong confidence levels about what the country has to offer, and our people largely raise issues such as rich cultural diversity, a travel destination of choice, and the potential that the country has as positives that give them confidence in this country. Chair and members, I would like to move on now to the implementation of our strategy for the period 2012-13. The chairman has covered our mandate and both internationally and domestically. I will focus on the areas of outcomes that we seek to achieve, which is those five areas of outcomes: brand alignment, increased pride and patriotism, positive perceptions, as well as articulating and contextualizing policy. The fifth one has to do with sustainable organization, and our CFO will speak to that one. In terms of program two, which is really the brand strategy development and management for the country, we have seen, obviously, successes and increased performance year on year. At this point, I'll highlight just the fact that you know, our stakeholder engagement was increased sufficiently. And we also expanded the base of stakeholders that we talked to, for instance, faith-based organizations that we started now to engage, engagement with political parties. And we had successful engagements with the faith-based organization in an effort to get them to also promote South Africa, promote the values that underpin the country, but also promote active citizenship in the communities in which they are based. The positioning launch, we have talked about that, and you have seen the television ad that we have used here, we used for that for those purposes. What I would like to highlight is the fact that not only was the launch successful, but when we did a poll, 44% of international respondents were indicated that they were already aware of the payoff line inspiring new ways. And so we will continue to track that. But I think the other other issue was the highlight was the 30 and 60 second business ads over and above the one that we showed you, which we flighted on CNN in November on the biggest television night in the U.S. during the presidential elections. I might add here, Chair, that we were asked to confirm in writing that the numbers we were putting up there about South Africa were correct, and we had to confirm that indeed it is true, these numbers are correct. We also supported national priorities by reducing the state of the nation address to an infographic that we distributed widely in all our engagements in a very simplified form to communicate, obviously, not only the state of where South Africa is, but what has been achieved to date. Active citizenship, we talked about that, and there's four parts of it that I'd like to talk about. It's the online social media, which is was around the campaign for 16 days of activism, and also a campaign that is going to play a part that focuses on defending your rights and your freedoms, as well as the Shape the Future campaign, which is aimed at young people. All of these are campaigns that sit underneath the bigger rubric of the Play Your Part program. We built, as we said, very close strategic relationships with a host of organizations in society. At this point, I'd like just to highlight the relationship we built with Business Unity South Africa, Business Leadership South Africa, as well as the Black Business Council in various platforms, whether it was the World Davos the World Economic Forum in Davos, or the BRICS Forum in Durban, where we participated with organizations such as BBC and BUSA. The Play Your Part, as we have talked about, is a central program for mobilizing South Africans, but we extended the partnership in Play Your Part with other departments such as Sports and Recreation, as alluded to by the Deputy Chair in the London Olympics, with the Department of Arts and Culture, as well as the Department of Trade and Industry and the GCIS, during the Olympics. But we also partnered with the Department of Transport on the Arrive Alive campaign as part of exhorting South Africans to play their part and ensure safer.
South Africans to play their part. My name is Sibu Siskavila. I'll play my part by inspiring Africans to dream. You can do it, in as much as I've done it.
I'm Audrey.
I'm Eunice.
And we at Kylie and
Keith play our part,
creating opportunity,
one fight at a time.
I'm Sebo Farhad.
Meet ordinary South Africans with extraordinary stories. Monday night, 7 p.m. on SABC 1, Mzansi.
For sure.
Program, Chair and Members, says we ran on television twice. We are into the second series, and now we have moved it onto radio so that we can reach more South Africans. But the long and short of it is that it seeks to identify and find South Africans across the length and breadth of this country who are doing extraordinary things to make a contribution to positive social change in this country. And we have a huge number of stories of South Africans who are indeed contributing. This year we're moving it onto radio through various radio platforms, but last year we partnered with a number of other community television channels such as Bay TV, KZN TV and Soweto TV to just reach out to a broader audience there. We also partnered with the Big Break Legacy to launch the second part of the popular television series. It's a 13-part series that we run. In terms of strategic relationships, we have in short, quite a number of strategic relationships, but we also have a program where we have ongoing dialogue with political parties, other stakeholder groupings, just to get them to also support our nation building efforts and the branding efforts for the country. An important program that we run is the Global South Africans program, which is really a program that focuses on South Africans in the diaspora. And we have set ourselves the task and the target of expanding this network. Over the past year, we worked not only with Global South Africans, but also with the Export Council to promote South African products and services, whether it was wines. We worked with the Rooibos Council. And we also trained 28 Export Councils in terms of the messaging and the communications around South Africa. We continued high-level engagements with various government stakeholders across the length and breadth of the country. our media platforms, especially the social and digital media, also showed a significant increase, and we used these effectively for all the platforms at which we promoted South Africa. Importantly, it's the social media platform, especially such as Twitter, where you find that the engagement with young people has worked very well, and in some of the topics that we have engaged them with, you'll find that these were trending topics for those periods. Our reputation management program, Chair, also works successfully, but here I just want to allude to the fact that we had various partnerships, whether it was CNN, Time Magazine, CNBC, for most of our international engagements, and it's a program that we hope to continue pursuing. We've talked about the international platforms such as the BRICS Forum, where we provided media and branding framework support to the presidency, and also ran our own media program. But we also had a successful collaboration with the DTI and DECO in the development of the Why Invest in South Africa TV commercial and the campaign that underpinned that commercial. Our media program served not only to support presidency, government, and the South Africa Incorporated for state visits, but we also supported other non-state actors, such as the universities, for instance, when they go out to market for candidates. We've given them support, and in some cases, we've actually participated with them or partnered with them, for instance, with the University of the Witwatersrand in Australia. We partnered with partners such as Deloitte for the Africa Dialogue Conference, the DTI. And then we organized the three successful incoming media tours where we brought media from different parts of the world to give an experience of South Africa. The most successful one was the science and technology one, where the media we brought were really amazed by what they saw here in South Africa and did not associate South Africa with the innovation and the kind of technology that they experienced. And they produced very good reports and write-ups when they got back to their countries. Our country offices also participated or continued to drive the programs that sit within their business plans, such as the Global South Africans campaign in Washington, in the US, as well as in the UK. We've talked about the Olympics, but just suffice to say that in Brazil, we took a different approach, and our activities were largely to have, we focused largely on direct engagement between South African and Brazilian business, or using our agencies there to tell stories about South Africa as a destination for business, working with either the High Consul in Sao Paulo or the ambassador in Brasilia. And we found that that worked very well. In Russia, we did a similar thing with supporting Ambassador Mpahlwa there, but also supporting them through a media program. In India, we worked largely through our agency and the High Commissioner there. And then in China, it was a similar exercise, driving more messages about our role within the BRICS and the opportunities that South Africa presents. We started also to expand to countries on the continent, which is an area that we previously indicated we are gradually expanding our reach into the continent. And we had similar programs running in media programs running in Nigeria and Kenya, as well as in Germany, where we also saw very positive results. In the United Arab Emirates, we provided support as well to DERCO and the mission there. But more importantly, we also set up a chapter of Global South Africans in the UAE. With regard to the performance results, just suffice to say that the Auditor General's assessment of our performance against the business plan indicated that we had realized an 83% achievement. At this point, I might highlight that in terms of our strategy, 80% of our business plan is based on the program, and 20% is what we call tactical opportunities or responses to matter that might not have been foreseen or are not in the business plan. So they could be challenges or they could be opportunities. So if you take both the two together, 20% being the technical and 80% being programmatic, you will see that our performance as assessed by the Auditor General is 81.8%. And this is just to give you an overall view of the performance per strategic objective as well as per individual country. And that is what returns the 81.8% performance result that you've seen there. Chair, these tables speak to the performance results by outcome, and they are very detailed, so I will not go into the details of each one of them. They are really just to highlight how the 81.8% is arrived at, and they'll show you the achievements and the variances there. So I will skip to the slide that speaks about organizational sustainability. And at this point, I would like to hand over to the CFO to take us through those two sub-programs. Thank you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, CEO. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Organizational sustainability for 2012-2013. Because we work with and through stakeholders, we had to ensure that we have a strong, accurate and reliable customer relationships management. Thus, we implemented that CRM thing. And then during the year under review again, we didn't experience any litigation. And our legal services are quite high, mainly because they are there to manage the intellectual property of Brand South Africa, amongst others, including Inspiring New Ways. And we undertook a strategic planning process together with the new board members who came on board, just to ensure that we've got an integrated planning processes going forward. And subsequently, we then engaged all staff members so that they would understand the organization that they work with and know what is expected of them. The next slide. Then a concerted effort was then put forth to review and correct the audit findings of 2011-2012, mainly around HR issues, so that going forward we comply with labor legislations. We've got CIS programs, and this year, 2012-2013, we went to a home, Ebenezer Hanna. We also participated in the Radio 702 Walk the Talk, and we also engaged staff during the team, the strategic planning session for a team building session. So during this year, which we're currently on, which is 2013-2014, we then are embarking. We've already started actually the process of implementing reviewed policies and strategies to ensure that we then, amongst other things, retain talent in the organization and to build a strong and competent workforce to improve staff attrition. Plans are also underway to introduce additional modules in HR just to ensure that everything is automated and go green as opposed to have a paper-based organization. The next slide that talks to our human resources at statistics as of 31st March 2013. In totality, 76 of the workforce is made up of blacks, followed by white 15%, colored 6%, and then Indians at 3%. At top management level, we've got 16 members. Six of them are female, meaning 38% of the composition at management level is a female. And out of the 33 staff members that have been employed at year-end, 20 were female, meaning 60% of the workforce was then constituted by females. And we also proud to inform the committee that we have actually employed a disabled person. Financial statements. The chairperson alluded to the opinion expressed by Auditor General as of the 31st of March that we have unqualified audit results. But then if you have to compare the audit report for the previous year and this year, during 2011-2012, the performance achievements that were received in 2011-2012 Auditor General stated that we had 71%, which was below the mark of 80%. However, this year we have improved significantly and we've attained the 81.8%. During 2011-2012, we disclosed an amount of 10.738 million for irregular expenditure. However, this year, non-irregular expenditure has been disclosed in our books. And again, in 2011-2012, Auditor General raised that we've overspent on our budget, amounting to about 23 million. That was due to the fact that we haven't at the time we didn't receive approval from National Treasury to retain the accumulated surplus. But during 2012-2013, a letter of approval was then received from National Treasury, giving us approval to retain the funds. And this year, none of that finding has been raised. However, there was a financial misstatement in our books, mainly because of the revaluation of assets. Revaluation of assets, the methodology applied by the service provider, technically didn't comply with GRAP 17 as per the approved standards. So we just had to reverse that and amend our policies as Brand South Africa that going forward we are not going to revalue our assets, but we will do it for purposes of impairment. And there are two other factors that has been raised again by Auditor General during 2012-2013 is the fact that our bid adjudication committee didn't constitute of members as per our policy. But during that year, our policies were, in terms of supply chain management, was inadequate and didn't necessarily comply with National Treasury prescript. So we had to review our policies to align it to National Treasury prescripts. And the last one was that we have actually awarded a bid to a bidder who, with a criteria that wasn't advertised in the papers. How that came about is that during the evaluation of a bidding process, the bidder who got the highest mark was actually had a limited resources. So we decided that we will take that particular bidder and partner it with the bigger one so that there could be skills transfer and resources that are used. So it was to the advantage of the bidder in any event, but however, we were told that we should have done that initially in our advert. Now, if I go again then to our financial performance, if you look at the revenue line, we were allocated an amount of 154,779,000 in 2013. However, that amount included a 6 million that was dedicated to AFCON. So what that relates, that translates to, is that we only received a 6% increase on our baseline. Okay, and our operating expenditure, obviously, compared to last year, It looks like it has decreased, mainly because we had an accumulated surplus in 2011-2012 that you needed to spend. Okay? The financial position, which is the next slide. If we look at the assets and we look at operating lease, you will notice that operating lease has gone up, mainly because of the fact that we have acquired additional office space to accommodate the growing staff members of Brand South Africa. And in that, by bringing on board staff members, we're trying to address the issue of relying on agencies and have people working for us internally. And that goes with the deposits paid under non-current assets. It relates to that. It has also increased from 397 to 608,000. Because we were required to pay additional deposit for the additional space going forward. And if I talk again to the cash and cash equivalent, at the end of the year we showed a cash and cash equivalent of 30 million. It was high at this stage because we only received our transfer in quarter four late in the quarter. So we couldn't spend the money properly. However, we had raised the invoices and service providers that we owed at the end of the year that amounted to 31,868,000 as disclosed. And then if you look again at the highlights, is the accumulated surplus. The accumulated surplus is 6 million, and that 6 million then has been committed. We have signed contracts during quarter four, and work was only implemented in quarter one. So basically that money has been committed and it's going to be spent, and we are awaiting approval from National Treasury for the retention of the 6 million at the moment. The next slide with this statement of net changes, it just reflects to you what actually happened in terms of the surpluses and the it's actually deficits for the 2 years comparatively. For 2012, our deficit was 28 million. That's why the Auditor General raised an unspent or an unauthorized expenditure there. And then for this year, it's only 2.27 million, which was actually the completion of the carried over amount from the previous year. However, we're showing the accumulated surplus there of 6 million. Okay. The cash flow statement then reflects how we actually expended the money. We have spent 26 million. Of that 26.816 million of that money towards a staff cost, and then the 101,698,000 for goods and services acquired during the year. And then we invested 1.667 of the amount received during the year to our fixed assets, and then 823 to finance the lease, basically, in the deposit that's paid. Brand South Africa doesn't have loans, so that finance costs relate to the leases that we've actually incurred during the year. Okay. When we look at the statement of comparison to budget, it then in detail shows how we actually spend against each line item. Revenue from other sources. In the E&E published version, we allocated 3 million. However, because we were so vigilant in working with and through stakeholders, we managed to raise 6.28 million during the year, including investment income. And then obviously the grant would be the same. We wouldn't budget for either a deficit or a surplus there. So it's normally the same, and our total expenditure then is 162, and then the only thing that has grown this year was the loss on foreign exchange because of the volatility of the rand. I think I've covered our financials going forward. Thank you very much.
Thank you, CFO. In terms of looking ahead, Chair, we're just giving you a headline of some of the strategic focus areas for the current financial year, which is, amongst others, the hosting of the inaugural South African Competitiveness Forum, which is a forum we are hosting in November, to bring all stakeholders across business, government, and civil society to really focus on the issue of competitiveness in the context of implementing the National Development Plan. And that will form part of our contribution towards not only communicating the plan, but mobilizing support for the implementation of the plan. So it's something that we've been doing since the past two quarters. And then we'll continue using international platforms to promote South Africa as a business destination. And thirdly, the Play Your Part program will form the backbone for our national development plan communications and mobilization. And then the 20 years of democracy as well and the achievements to date, those are going to form an integral part of our strategic plan going forward. Fourthly, the National Infrastructure Plan campaign, also under the auspices of the National Development Plan, is something that we are going to focus on greatly to indicate to South Africans not only the road ahead, but what is currently being achieved in terms of rolling out infrastructure and ensuring, obviously, a better life for South Africans. And lastly, we will continue with our ongoing marketing communications, part of our reputation management program, both here at home and abroad. I thank you, Chair, committee members.
Thank you very much, Miller. Chair and honorable members, we are now ready to take your questions, and I'm sure, Chair, you'll be very happy with the fact that we have saved you a lot of time.
Thanks very much for the presentation, Honorable Sebe, Honorable Sheen, Stein, Lesom, all of you, Honorable Sebe.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. And thank you very much, Brendisi, for your quick presentation. And I just want to welcome and comment it, Chair. But obviously, Chair, there are issues there that some of us might need clarity. They are not complaints, just clarity. They're not big issues. Number one, Chair, is that I wonder how this presentation or Brand SA is aligning its programs with the NDP. I've not heard anything, even in May when you were here. What is your relation in addressing the issues as addressed in the NDP? Because the NDP is our program as this government. Therefore, it's our responsibility, all of us, that whatever we do, it must be aligned with that program. I don't know your take regarding that. Number two, Chair, is that, you know, when the Chair was presenting, after introducing his team, when he was dealing with the, he dealt with one part of the audit, the statement by the Auditor General. We appreciate and we commend you for receiving the unqualified audit and even in the past years. But there are issues there. It's not only that good statement that AG raised, though it might not be that crucial issues. What I want to check around that, and it's on page 84 in your main document. Again, Chair, is that I can see your audit committee, according to the to your report, is doing very well. But I just want to check that all these issues that's raised by Auditor General, did this audit committee that, according to the report, is doing very well, did they identify those issues before the Auditor General came, and what did they do to address them? And that currently, is there any plan in place to address those issues? I can just mention some of them. On procurement and contract management, the AG is saying contracts were awarded to bidders based on points given for criteria that different from those stipulated in the original invitation for bidding. On expenditure management, the Auditor General is saying the accounting officer did not take adequate steps to prevent irregular expenditure. Then the other one, I think the lady there on this one has tried to deal with it partly. He also raised issues in particular on the accounting officer that she or he did not always review and monitor compliance with appliance to laws and regulations. Those are the few issues. They might be minor to your side, but these are some of the few issues that they might impact negatively in the next financial year if they are not addressed now. I just want to check if there's any intention to deal with those now. The other thing, Chair, is in regard to your IT infrastructure. It's being managed, according to your report on the bid document, it's on page 67. It's being managed by the outsourced service provider.
I just want to check the cost of this outsourced service provider and the people who are employed by Brand SA to do the same job. What is their role there? Because you have attached two people there. What is their role in working with the service provider and their skills maybe they'll be acquiring from? What will be the benefit out of that? And for how long is that company will be there? Is it forever, forever and amen? Or what is the time frame for them? Chair, the other thing is on page 67 on the main document. I just want clarity on that. Is in regard to the new board registrations, you are saying due to incorrect legal opinion. I just want to understand what that incorrect legal opinion is it, and whose opinion is that? Lastly, Chair, I'm interested on few things that were not achieved as the last time you presented before this portfolio committee, just the progress. I'm doing this, Chair, on this one. This is my last question, Chair, because I think some of us, we are meeting with Brand SA for the last time today, Chair. These processes are already on the way. So I just want to use this opportunity to make sure that I have all the answers so that others will come after me. We'll see that we did a good job as this portfolio committee did not leave anything hanging. Number one, it was in regard to IT master system plan. You were saying the tender was drawn due to budget limitations. And that time, I don't remember, I think it's honorable, because it was somebody honorable from my right, I can't remember who, was asking a question of any plan and what then. So if you can respond on that, I just want to identify them. I think they were three that I identified. The other thing, Chair, was on the Brand Ambassadors Program. You were saying by then is pending approval of candidates. What is the status as you speak? There were many things that we were saying pending approval, Chair. But those are the few that I can remember, including the CI manual. By then it was not ready, but somebody talked about it now. I don't know if he was referring to the same manual that was presented by then. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you,
Honorable Sommer.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Let me first welcome and appreciate the performance of Brand SA, which I must confess, Chair, is one of the few entities that reports to this committee that makes us proud. It's quite unfortunate that my colleague at the back here have said almost everything that I wanted to say, and I know that you did deliberately. No, don't interject, Honorable Member. The list is on the way. I also want to be in the list. Chair, but having said that...
Also, you are asking just to post your credentials on the list.
Yeah. Yes. No,
but you are covered.
No, Chair, I do it every day since I was born. Chair, if you look at your fruitless, wasteful expenditure, year 2011, year 11-12, year 12-13, so there is some instability in terms of auditors increase compared to the previous year under review. And I'm sure you see, CFO, you have tried your level best to give the understanding and the reasons thereof. But also you have appreciated that the AG have raised those things even the last 3 years. In your trying to respond to that, I didn't get a sense of comfort from where I'm sitting that there is any willingness in terms of the board, as it may, to play its... I'm dealing now with the leadership issue also at the same time, Deputy Chair of Brand SA. The willingness to attend to those issues. One would have appreciated that there's a partial intention or appetite to deal with them. Of course, you are performing well. We would like you to perform 100%. If there's anything, 120%, we'd love to see that. Hence, we are raising these issues. When you're dealing with the board attendance and the reflection of the subcommittees, I didn't hear you. You just picked it up, which all of us have picked it up. But I didn't get a very convincing reason why it was omitted. Because my understanding is that AG does sit with all entities in terms of the new, I think it's the last 3 years new reporting lines in terms of specification, which means at this time you should also be in compliance with that. And what were the reasons for that? I didn't get that. And also moving forward, what do we intend to do? The other one is the issue of my colleague have tried to cover it in terms of the ICT strategy, as it may, if I may use that. There's somewhere where you said you have outsourced, I'll use that word, because it's an outsider that is handling that on your behalf, the lawyers in terms of the cost of the legal cost, and you said it's because of intellectual safeguarding the intellectual property. Are all your gaps closed to ensure that, because even the outsider can do that. They can just modify it for another body and also steal your. What pre-measures have you put in place to ensure that it doesn't happen? So that I'm trying to get the value for money for doing that. Chair, the other one, which is my last chair, point is to say I'm sure also GCIS would also come to party to this one to ensure that without also spin doctoring what is happening within the country, but also to ensure that we mitigate the negative publicity that we get. And I heard that the CE also spoke about that, but also what then? And I'm sure some brains need to be coming together there to ensure that also we put the brighter one. But other than that, Chair, I'm happy and I'm comfortable with the unqualified, ongoing unqualified clean audit report. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Shin.
Thank you, Chairperson. Couple of things. You talk about the South Africans' performance at the London Olympics as being a very positive thing for South Africa, and that we ranked, I think, 16th in the world on our sporting prowess, or that's a reputation that we have, as we ranked number 16, whatever it was, on page 7 there. But yet I was surprised to see that in your main government department interactions, the Department of Sport is not included there. So are you going to engage with them to actually make them realize that our sporting prowess is a positive thing for South Africa, and perhaps they should actually boost their support, their financial support for our Olympic class athletes who seem to have to big borrow and steal to get themselves ready for the Olympics? In your annual report, page 108, can you please explain the dramatic increase in your security expenses? And then also, CEO, if you can explain the dramatic increase in your subsistence allowance. I think it's sort of gone up from 650 Rand or something, or 600 to 51,000 or something. I'm sure that you travel a lot, but it seems to be a dramatic increase in that. Then obviously the labour settlements on page 118, 300,000 Rands worth of fruitless expenditure. That's obviously inadequate advice you were given, but can you explain how else you could have resolved the issue? Then, having a look at your litany of attempts at getting media exposure overseas, I'm sort of wondering if the people that we're using actually understand what it is about South Africa that might be interesting to these target markets. Now, can it, for the life of me, one think why whoever it is you're employed to boost our image in China would be interested in the State of the Nation address. Also see that there's a fair amount of promotion of the governing party here. And I do not believe it is the place of Brand SA to promote the fact that the ANC has a Congress, that this is proof of our democracy, and that Congress should actually be irrelevant. There was also another one that was specifically, I thought, now, you know, why are we doing this? You know, this is meant to be promoting the country, not political parties. The target for Russia, actually, one of the target things was to promote the ANC leadership elections. Why? Why are you doing this? You know, this has, and the ANC centenary celebrations, these are party political activities. They are not national activities. Why are we wasting taxpayers' money on this? And it's actually quite incredible. All over the place, the United Arab Emirates, China, Brazil, we're trying to tell these people that a governing party, a political party's conference is actually of national importance to promote the image of the country abroad. This, to me, this is hugely inappropriate use of taxpayers' money, and I think that it should stop. And in the light of that, I would like an assurance from you, please, that whatever programs and money you spend celebrating the success of 20 years of democracy, that this is politically, party political neutral. You know, the ANC was not the only entity that promoted and worked for democracy, and I think that I would like that assurance from you that there will be no party political propaganda produced in any of your materials for that program. Thank you.
Thank you, Acting Chair. Please forgive me if I happen to repeat an item where a question was asked already. That's what happens if you're at the end of the line. May I just very quickly, in terms of your presentation, there's just one slide that I'd like you to just explain a little bit further, and that's on slide number 16. If you could just explain those percentages, what exactly do you mean by, for 2012, for example, 54%? Having said that, let me move on to your annual report, and also on page 67, I have a similar question in terms of your outsourcing of your IT. Not so much why you're doing it, but according to the Auditor General's report, my apologies, it wasn't the IT, it was the supply chain management. And I think you've actually already explained to us what happened there. So let's move on from that one. I want to go to page 84, which again you may have explained, but you indicated that there was no fruitless and wasteful expenditure in this financial year. And yet, in the Auditor General's report, they make specific mention that it was not, I want to go to page 84 in the first instance, yes. It says the accounting officer did not take adequate steps to prevent irregular expenditure. So I don't know why the Auditor General would say you haven't taken steps to prevent it, and then you tell us there wasn't any fruitless expenditure. So if you could explain that, please. Then I want to move on also to page 108 in your annual report. And just in addition to what the Honorable Shin asked, there was a couple of big differences between the previous year and this year. And I'm going to name them, and then if you can just explain to us. The one is the auditor's remuneration from 909 to 1. Almost 4 million rand. Placement fees, more than double. Staff welfare, actually didn't work out what that percentage is, but it's from 96,000 to 256,000. Your travel overseas has doubled. Your venue expenses has almost doubled. There's an item for bonus where there were none for the previous year. If you could just tell us about that particular item, please. And then similarly, and there may be valid reasons for this, but I'm simply raising it because of the huge difference from one year to the other. Your travel motor car accommodation from 414 to 707, overtime payments more than double from the previous year, cell phone reimbursement for the chief executive officer from 12,000 in 2012 to 58,500 in 2013. The subsistence has been asked. Similarly, for the chief financial officer, your reimbursable expenses from 2,300 rand to almost 12,000 rand. Then if we could go to over to the following page, 110, again, your director of corporate services, travel allowance from 30,000 to 120,000. Cell phone reimbursement, there was zero last year, it's now 21,000. Director of marketing and communications, annual remuneration from 536 to 1.4 million. Pension contributions from 40,000 to 104,000. Why these big discrepancies from the previous year? Then let me move on, Chair, to 116. Again, I'm just quite interested to find out or hear your response to the financial instruments from particularly Nedbank, where in 2012 there was 81,000. And 2013, 30 million. Where did this money come from? How did you manage to this huge money from the 1 year to the next? Then 119, I see I've got a question. I think somebody has spoken about it, that I'm referring to your, and this is perhaps where your irregular expenditure is. It talks about disciplinary, legal fees. No disciplinary action was taken. One has to question perhaps the certainly not foresight, but the decisions that are made when you spend that sort of money on legal fees and it doesn't lead to any disciplinary measures. It then indicates to me that the initial decision that was taken that led to this dispute was flawed from the side of management. It's the only conclusion I can come to. If it wasn't flawed from management side, then there would have been a positive outcome on in favor of Brand SA. But clearly in this instance there wasn't. 125. Let's move over to, I'm basically looking at your outcomes here. And besides the comments that the Honourable Shin made, I just want to zone in on one or two of them that she did not mention. The awareness of South Africa policy positions by target audience, that's on 127 by the way. Your actual was 6%, you had a target of 16 to 21. That doesn't gel with the presentation. Your presentation was positive. I felt upbeat at the end of it. And when I look at the outcomes, it doesn't sort of gel. If you've only achieved 6% in terms of awareness, it doesn't come across from your presentation. Similarly, awareness, the one at the bottom there, awareness by stakeholders, and then the actual should have been 51%, and the survey was not conducted. It simply wasn't done. I think one need to know why. And the same question would apply to on page 128. I can remember when you appeared before us last year. You seem to, the information that comes across regarding India, Russia, China, etc. Those appear to be your target markets. But surely we need to extend that. We need to go to other possible markets if we want to increase the footprint to South Africa and investment with South Africa. And then if for countries like France and Spain and Japan and no data, we want to increase that outlook, we want to increase the possibilities and not year after year focus on the same countries where perhaps the awareness has been established already. So that's my question there. Then 147, let me just see what have I got on 147.
Oh, it was compliance to performance management system, target not met. This is one of the key things for us, that there must be some sort of performance management system in all the entities. It's the reason things go wrong, because performance is not monitored, or there is no management system in place. And then your target was 100% compliance, 100% compliance. You simply said target not met. You didn't say whether you've actually achieved 50%, 70%. Can I assume then that if you haven't met the target, then it's 0%, and that nothing has been done in that regard? And then lastly, Chairperson, I see I've got a note on 163. Let me just see what that is. Again, it was target not. You highlight South Africa as the gateway to Africa. Now that surely is one of your priorities in terms of your mandate. And the target hasn't been met due to the local social political conditions or the market not activated. I mean, if you could just expand on that and tell us why that target wasn't met. And again, is it 40, 50%? Because there's four quarterly business interviews. Do I assume none of them have taken place? Has one or two or three taken place? And then, I can't refer to the page, Chairperson, but in the report somewhere, I read something about your fourth quarter tranche only being paid out in the new financial year. I mean, that is simply unacceptable. And I don't know why that has happened. Why has it happened? I mean, other entities sit here and their money is transferred before anything is even done, when it should be transferred based on performance. I can remember when I was in human settlements, there were many, many provinces where the money was given to them before they did anything, where there wasn't even a business plan. Now, it sounded to me from your presentation that you've got your business plan, you know what you want to do. And then your fourth quarter is not transferred, and it's transferred in the next financial year. Surely that has an impact on your financial statements, and certainly from the Auditor General's point of view, it could lead to a qualified report. So perhaps if you could explain that. But this goes from both sides, because you need to do something about that, getting that money from the National Treasury. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. There was just one question I failed to ask, I forgot to ask, was the one on the attendance at board meetings. And I realise there's been a lot of movement within the membership of the board. So I'm going to just perhaps focus on those who are still trustees of Brand South Africa. Mr. Sandile Zungu attended absolutely no board meetings. Mr. Cassius Lubisi, I think, attended one. Mr. Gupta didn't attend any of the meetings of his partnership committee, and yet these people are still trustees. Can you please explain why?
Thank you for allowing me to say what I wanted to say before they respond. I think, Chair, some of us, we need to accept and get comfort that government departments and entities, they listen to us and they try to respond what excites us in terms of our area of interest. Media has been lambasting us with the ANC conference. And Brand SA is responding to that is being questioned. But also, we're not ashamed. There's no other party that is ruling this country. We're not co-governing. So I don't know why the question was asked. I just wanted to raise that one. That I really, and they don't even come with suggestions how they should have managed it. There's no other party that have completed 100 years representing all color lines of this country. And I don't know what's wrong with that. And we'll continue doing that while we're still ruling this country, because we're representing the majority of the people. Thank you.
Mr. Chairperson, you can respond. Other members will follow. Members, you had your opportunity to raise questions.
let us give the brand essay to respond. If you are not covered, you'll have the last round on your follow-ups. We'll do that. Otherwise, we're not going to finish. Thank you, Chair. The tea is already here. We have to break for tea. Let us respect time. Brand essay.
Thank you, Chair.
Quite a list. But we'll give it our best shot. I will first ask the CEO to tackle the issue on the National Development Plan. And as soon as he's done with that, we'll then focus on all the audit-related questions. And I will try and keep tabs on whether or not all of them have been answered. And in the over and above that, we will include the ICT related questions in the audit report questions, because all of those fall within the ambit of the CFO. I'm just trying to find some structure to how we answer these questions. And when that is done, while that is being done, in the meantime, I'll try and plow through things that go together and try and group them together so that we find order in terms of how we deal with the questions. So first, I'll defer to the CEO to deal with the National Development Plan.
Thank you, Deputy Chair. Honourable Zebe, the National Development Plan forms the basis of all our communications, and apologies if it did not come through. If you look at all the stakeholder engagements that we have undertaken so far, they are predicated on communicating the National Development Plan. Yes, indeed, in the period before the National Development Plan was finally adopted by Cabinet and also adopted in the ruling party's elective conference, you might not have seen that much activity. But if you look at the latter period, in fact, if you look at quarter 4, 1 and 2 now of this financial year, you will see that it forms the basis of all our engagements. Hence, in the way ahead slide, you will see that the National Development Plan is at the top. And so we have aligned our plans completely to the National Development Plan in this new fiscal.
Can I ask you to deal with brand ambassadors?
Okay, thank you. The matter of brand ambassadors, yes, indeed, we did report that it was pending approval. Obviously, the process that had to go through internally through our board, etc. I'm pleased to highlight that for the South African Competitiveness Forum, one of the plans is that on that evening we will announce at least the domestic brand ambassadors, meaning those ambassadors here in South Africa. Now, the brand ambassador program includes people internationally. It includes people who have been recipients of the national orders. And therefore, you'll understand that on the international front, it's quite a very expansive project. But domestically here, we are all poised to announce our domestic brand ambassadors. Thank you.
Thank you. The CFO, please, can I ask you to deal with these questions in this order? Outsourced IT to the service providers, fruitless expenditure, and the IP safeguard, and then while you at it, look at the auditor's remuneration, the placement fees, staff welfare, and the overseas travel, venue expenditure, bonuses, as well as the director of corporate services, cell phone, marketing and communications director, as well as the pension fund. Okay.
Thank you, Chair. On the first question around the outsourced IT, we don't intend keeping outsourced IT indefinitely. We are currently undergoing an organizational development to establish what the best structure would be for us to carry out our mandate, including IT services. Hopefully that study will be done before the end of the year, and then we'll come back to the new structure for approval. And the second one, I think, is the Master Systems Plan. The Master Systems Plan was placed on hold. However, we looked at our current ERP system and the shortfalls and to see whether we can survive with it for the next year or two. In the meantime, we are going to go out on an RFI, whereby we then go to service providers and they give us information and tell us what system would best suit Brain South Africa. And then when we have that and the costings, we will then come upfront even to National Treasury and say we're embarking into this to implement a suitable system for us. And the third one around trademarks. Indeed, it's just trademarks that we're talking about there in terms of the legal fees. And trademarks are actually secured when they are then looked after by a qualified a lawyer. Because every time when people try to then register something similar, we get hits and we address it as and when that comes up. And the fourth one would then be, I'll actually tackle the variances in expenditure together, not separately like that. If I then go back to, did I talk to fruitless and wasteful expenditure? Okay. The fruitless and wasteful expenditure, if you look at the trend, it is not the same. We try by all means not to incur fruitless and wasteful expenditure. In the previous year, I think it was cancellation of tenders. So we've actually implemented systems and processes to ensure that if we go ahead with a project, it is properly catered for, so that you don't find ourselves in a space where we have to cancel or something like that. And in the current year, the fruitless expenditure was, I think the first main one was related to prior year irregular expenditure because it was a settlement at CCMA. And then the second one was a settlement of an international employee who felt that you created expectations that they could be employed as a full-time employee. Otherwise, that was actually beyond our control until such time it was brought to us. So we are, as management, trying to avoid fruitless and wasteful expenditure. I think a question was then raised again around irregular and fruitless expenditure that I've indicated that we didn't disclose fruitless expenditure. I actually said we didn't disclose irregular expenditure for the year. But Auditor General statements are standard. And myself and the CEO did engage with Auditor General around how we report, because when you read the report, it's like everything is really out of control, and yet it's not. And they've just listed 1, 2, 3 bullet points, so you need to read that in context with the things that they've raised. But the statement that they issue at the end is that the accounting officer didn't, you know, exercise proper internal control or follow-up. So it's a standard statement that they issue, irrespective of what the findings, how minor or how major the findings are, but that remains. And that is beyond our control, the way Auditor General reports then in their audit report. Okay. Can I just then look at the other expenditure? If you look at security has gone up, mainly because we have improved on our security because we did office refurbishment and we had an AV included there. So as and when we change, we just needed to change the system, thus our security expenditure has gone up. And then if I go to page 108 and look at auditor's remuneration, auditor's remuneration for Auditor General and internal audit both went up quite high, not only because of inflationary increase, but because of the follow-up of the prior year. So they needed to spend more time to see whether we have indeed improved in our
action plan, did we actually implement? So they just needed to make sure by the time that they report, everything was above board. So internal audit also had to follow up on what Auditor General has raised. So we're hoping that as and when we improve this year, audit fees will then remain stable going forward. And then if we talk about placement fees, yes, indeed, are high because we had a high staff attrition and we needed to replace employees who went out. Staff welfare, yes, it has gone up because there are activities that were taking place during 2012-2013 regarding employment staff wellness days over and above the amount we paid to ICAS. And then travel and subsistence, because part of our mandate is to put South Africa there in the international spot, we actually need to travel internationally to meet our counterparts abroad. And venue expenses, we then have to conduct reference groups, we have to engage with our stakeholders, and we have to have roundtables. Thus, our venue expenses have gone up in 2012-2013. So the aim was just to ensure that we do continuously engage and improve the relationships between ourselves and the key stakeholders. Remuneration of the CFO, of the CEO, the cell phone reimbursement, yes indeed it has gone up from 12,000 to 58,000, mainly because of roaming expenses. When he goes overseas, then we switch on the roaming. I think for a period of about 3 months, we incurred a roaming fees of about 10,000, which was just, if that the roaming fees were not there, his cell phone bill would be around 12 plus inflationary increase going forward. In terms of subsistence allowance, it was actually included in the reimbursive expenses in the previous year. And Auditor General said it's fine this year, just show it separately so that we can see going forward and be comparative for the other years. Remuneration of the CFO, cell phone reimbursement. The CFO only started claiming for reimbursive calls in 2012-2013. I didn't claim in the previous year, and I only started October 2012. Remuneration of the director corporate services, she was only employed January 2012. I think if you look at the comparative figures, if I look at the travel allowance, it was just 30,000, which is just 3 months, and for 2013 it's 120, which is 10,000 per month. That's the increase there. And the Director of Marketing and Communications, it's the same thing. If you look at the comparative figures in the previous year, it was, even the annual remuneration was 536, and it's gone up to 1.3 million in the current year. Can't remember what else haven't I covered there? The bonus.
The net bank.
Okay, I'll come to the net bank matter. Where are the bonuses? Okay. All right. If I address again on page 109, I'll go to that one. A question was raised around bonuses. There were no bonuses paid in 2012, and the bonuses that were paid in 2013 were incentive bonuses and not in accordance to the performance management, as in you've got a 4 and you get 8.3. We currently are reviewing that, and we are going to present to our board a proposal to pay bonuses for 2013. So this is just a small recognition based on different criteria. And then the net bank. The financial instrument in net bank, it basically talks to the balances of cash at the end of the year. So as at the end of the year in 2012-2013, the only amount that was left and reflected as cash and cash equivalents in our balance sheet was 81,000 in 2012, and this year was 30 million,
mainly because we received the money late in quarter four. Thank you. That's it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I've then asked the CEO to deal with the issue of the Department of Sport, the issue of State of the Nation address relative to China, and 20 years of democracy.
Thank you, Chair. The question you raised, Honorable Sheen, around the Olympics, indeed sports does play a critical role in building the reputation of the country. And for that reason, we might not have ongoing programs that are reflected here with sport, but we have an MOU signed with them for major events. So, for an example, the Chan tournament in January, that you will see is on our current business plan, and we are supporting them in the same way as we supported them with the Olympics in London. And so we implement specific elements of that MOU with them. The other issue, for an example, we did show up here the ECHAIA, initiative we did with them in London. We did similar exercise with them, ECHAIA, in New Zealand during the World Cup. So we have specific big event type of activations that we do with them in terms of our MOU, and we will continue doing that. The issue of media exposure, I think just to clarify, the agency we employ to support our initiatives internationally, as well as the country managers we have, they understand the media landscape in the countries where they operate. I think the point you raised about China is not necessarily a reflection on their understanding. It's simply that at the time of the State of the Nation address, which we believe sets out very clear policy direction which markets are very interested in, there was something major happening in China at the time which took away the interest from the State of the Nation address, but which is not to suggest that the Chinese would not be interested in understanding where the direction that this country is taking. They are keenly interested, and at other points, the State of the Nation address or elements therein have actually been asked about, and we have shared it with the media there. It's just that at the time something happened that detracted from a focus on the State of the Nation address, hence that report. In terms of the promotion, Honorable Sheen, of what you said is the ANC or governing party, I think the point has been made that part of what we do is reputation management. And in managing the reputation of this country, we engage with everybody. But with specific regard to the issue of the elective conference, we had to respond to the negative media coverage that was coming up as if you have an elective party, conference of the ruling party, there will be an implosion. And therefore, our response is in respect of the media coverage that was coming up. It's not so much to say we're supporting that party or ANC. No, we are responding to the issues that are raised about the elective conference of the ruling party. And therefore, we had to say this country is a robust democracy. That party has played a critical role in this democracy, and we believe that the country will still remain stable. And indeed, after the elective conference, we're going to go back to the market with messages to say there has been certainty around policy and all those issues, and this country will continue to hold firm and be a robust democracy. And the messaging there was that if you look at the United States, whether there's an elective conference or there's elections, there is never any impression that that country is going to implode. So that was really the strategy that we were deploying. With regard to the 20 years of democracy, once again, Brand SA works with and through all stakeholders, business, government, and civil society, and our campaign around 20 years of democracy will be all-encompassing. It's around the achievements of the country very broadly. It's not just around the achievements of government. Yes, our communications will include the achievements of government, but it will also include the achievements of ordinary South Africans who are heading up multinational institutions as a result of our democracy today and so forth. So that is the approach that we will take to that. Thank you. The question of awareness with regard to that was raised by the Honorable Stein. I now cannot recall the page on it, but I was 127. It's important to recognize that there's two sets of research that's done. There is research that we do as Brand South Africa, and there is research that we draw from other entities. And if they do not, there are two things. In some cases, they may not have a survey deployed in that country, and therefore we do not have anything to track. But also with respect to some of the areas that you highlight, the 6% awareness, the levels of awareness in some cases, especially when we are polling C-suite executives in different countries, will certainly differ. But when you average out what they understand or know about the country, you are either going to see an upward or a downward trend. So I would highlight that we can't look at all those figures and say it's a zero because Brand South Africa did not do anything. Remember, we are polling the perceptions of another audience, yes.
And then the outstanding questions would be the one about the registration of board trustees, the legal fees around that, or the legal opinion that was expressed, and the net, which I'll allow the CFO to deal with, and then the other one was about board members' attendance of board meetings, which the board member and chair of our HR remuneration committee, HR, Zimkulu Malunga will attempt to answer. I'll be good backup for that.
You want me to answer the... Or should I wait the...
We'll deal first with the issue of the registration of board trustees. Remember... the CEO will deal with that, that's fine.
We're not doing well in terms of time. I'm just giving you this opportunity because members were opening their Bibles, but if you're going to keep on doing that, you're also wasting time.
Oh, sorry about that, Chair.
Very quickly, on the matter of the registration of trustees, the matter relates to our legal representatives and the interpretation of our trust deed, which was something that happened between the assistant, I believe, a master of the High Court who was handling the matter, and the legal company that represents us. They gave the impression that their opinion was that the members who had resigned needed, or whose term of office had come to an end, needed to submit a resignation letter. And it turned out when the master of the High Court actually engaged with the senior counsel from our side, there was no need for that advice that had been given by the assistant. I don't know whether you call them the deputy master or whatever. There was no need for that. However, that delayed the process of registration. And this is really the matter. It was not so much a matter that there was incorrect legal advice. It was an opinion that was between the two of them arrived at, which was not necessarily the route to go. So when the legal advisor met with the master of High Court, the master said, no, their term of office has come to an end, so we do not need anything in writing from them. As they are appointed by the president, all we need to know is that confirms that indeed their terms of office have come to an end. Because that would have meant chasing all the board members who had resigned and trying to get resignation letters. And so that was clarified, and our lawyers did send an apology to say, this is the matter, this was the misunderstanding between the two, and it was resolved.
Thank you, Deputy Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, quickly, the issue of, before I get to the attendance of board members, I would like to also deal with just broadly what we have done as a board since we came into, our mandate was renewed in the last year, since November. What we dealt with were mainly we started with the governance issues, and if you would saw our board packs when we started, they were very thick, but because most of the governance issues have been dealt with now, they are getting thinner and thinner and thinner so that we can get along with the matters at hand. So we think that is a big achievement. But also, to touch also on the issue of performance management that was raised earlier, to give the committee comfort to tell them that we have actually now got the policy in place,
It has been approved currently. And lastly, the issue of attendance. It could be issues of timing. You know, certainly since I came, which was last year in November, and many of us sitting here, the attendance of Mrs. Zungu and Mr. Gupta and even Dr. Lubisi has actually improved. So going forward, you'll realize that the attendance has improved. But also on that issue, we as board members generally can actually do peer pressure. You know, our influence can be peer pressure on our colleagues to attend meetings. But at the end of the day, the appointment of trustees to Brandeis is done by the president. So we don't have our mandate to actually get rid of members who don't attend. So just to clarify that question. But I think we are on the right track. Thank you, Deputy Chairperson.
Thank you, Mr. Malunga. Chair, that's the attempt on our part to address ourselves to the litany of questions that we received.
Thank you very much, Brent. In fact, we didn't waste any time. Obviously, it's from our side, as usual. Me, myself, and I included. Honourable members, any follow-up questions? We're only left with 6 minutes. So I'm going to share that minutes amongst all of us. Each one of you will get 1 minute. Honourable Sheen, Honourable Stein.
Thank you, Chairperson. As there's only two of us, do we get 3 minutes each? I just wanted to point out of
no, neglect Honourable to...
She could never get it down to a minute. Chair, I wanted to know, on page 164 of the annual report and other parts in it, there's remarks that interviews and opportunities raised have to be abandoned because the stakeholders didn't pitch for interviews or cancelled the interviews. We're talking about, I think, the someone from the Stock Exchange, and also ministers from Science and Technology, I think, and it was either Environmental Affairs, yeah, who actually didn't respond to requests for media input. Do you really get a sufficient commitment by government players, by government ministers and stakeholders in Brandeis to actually partake in your programs?
Thank you, Acting Chair. I'll be quick. Your staff, your filled posts is 76 or 77% of the funded posts in terms of personnel. But your expenditure is 90%. Can you explain that, please? I expect around the expenditure to be more or less a percentage of the actual budgeted posts that are filled. And then secondly, it would appear from your responses that in terms of cell phone reimbursement, there is no sort of cap on that. Do you think, and this is addressed to the chairperson, that perhaps there should be, obviously leaving room for extraordinary circumstances? And then I just think, since you regularly deal with international clients, other people there, we've got offices there, you should look at doing it in a more efficient way by, for example, when you're there, get a local SIM card instead of roaming, which is what a lot of us do, and it cuts out their 10,000 rand bills. So I just wanted to put that into the pot. Thanks.
Honourable Mena, do you have something? Honourable Muruto?
Chairperson, good morning, actually. I should be saying good morning to everyone. And I think I send my apology, Chairperson. You know, I'm not going to be, as you know, that I don't have documents, but I had one thing in concern all the time. I wanted to ask Brand South Africa that is it arranged by cabinet that sometimes when you see things that, programs that have to be done by Brand South Africa, I see an overlap with environment. and the international. I don't know whether it is my mind only, but I think it's quite evident when you look at it. I just need an explanation.
Thank you, Honorable Murutwa, and welcome, Mema Story. Brad, I have two follow-ups to make. Number one is on the allowances of cell phones. Is there any policy governing that, in addition to what Honorable Steyn was saying? In terms of the conferences and the seminars, you are saying is due to roundtable meetings and other activities, but the main question was, now we have spent more than the previous years. Are you saying for the past financial years, you did not have those roundtables and other activities to increase that budget? That was the main question around that. And in terms of the board, in terms of your document, in fact, it's written incorrect. The word incorrect, in your response, Mr. CEO, you were saying it does not mean it was an incorrect advice legally or some sort of, I just want to check. Do you mean that word incorrect because it's there in your document, it was wrongly used, or what does it mean? Thank you. Can respond?
Okay. Maybe we should start with the stakeholders' question about whether we get enough cooperation. I think over the years...
sorry for interrupting. You have only 3 minutes to respond and to say your vote of thanks and all of that.
Okay. I'll try. Over the years, we've... and I guess it addresses itself to the other issue about incurring costs for venues and staging conferences. Is we've really tried to engage with various stakeholders, and some with lots of success, some with not so much success. And if you look at our business plan over the recent years, engaging with stakeholders is a big part of what we do, because most of us do similar things, so to speak. But as a collective, we managed to achieve a whole lot more. We have engaged with our executive authority to say sometimes we would like to get a nudge coming from the top to ensure that when we do have engagements of that ilk, that indeed these people do pitch. And we do so much, and we can only do so much. And therefore it answers the other question that if that's part of our business plan, then we've had to engage a whole lot more. And we have to take charge of these things in order for them to happen. But I wish we could get a whole lot more cooperation, and somebody else bears the brunt. But at this stage, we have been quite the leader as far as that is concerned. Can I ask you, CEO, to deal with issues that you can deal with as quickly as you can, because we've run out of time?
Don't put pressure on yourself.
Ah, okay.
I'm not that heartless.
Oh, okay.
Okay, thank you. I think the matter has been responded to with regard to the support or non-support we receive. Just suffice to highlight that the matter in the annual report relates to instances where you are going out of the country and you have a list of, say, ministers who were meant to travel, but as a result of other commitments, then they do not travel, and we have already scheduled that. They are the people we are going to request to entertain those interviews, and that is really what it means. So it's, I think it needs to be understood in that context. The CFO will ask respond to the whole matter again around expenditure, but I think it's important that I highlight to the committee and through you, Chair, that if you look at perhaps our expenditure patterns in the past financial year, they are a more realistic reflection of the work we should be doing. If you recall that in the previous years when we have come, we have highlighted that we did not implement some of our activities, especially internationally, because we're still awaiting the approval of the payoff line, which was approved early, and we only launched it, as we demonstrated here, in March, April last year. So I think it's important to note that I think our expenditure patterns, as reflected now, are a more realistic reflection, because the activity now is probably at the level where it needs to take place, as a matter of course. On the other matter, with regard to the overlap, I think it's important to highlight that through the interventions of our minister, Minister Chabani, we have now a strategic cooperation framework with the other entities that market this country in one way or the other. Some market the country internally, some market it externally. So we have a strategic cooperation framework which actually seeks to eliminate duplication, but make sure that we can leverage off each other's resources. The entities involved there, it's Brand South Africa, it's South African Tourism, it's proudly South African. At the last meeting, the minister indicated we need to bring on board, which we have GCIS, as well as the DTI and TISA. So there is that cooperation framework to eliminate precisely what the honourable member has said. With regard to the matter of the opinion, I suppose, Chair, incorrect opinion is what we've reflected, but on, I would imagine when two legal people sitting and their view is that, no, both of them have an opinion that that is the, how the matter could have been dealt with. So I opted to say not incorrect because they both argue that that is how it could be done. So I think it's the way I present it that creates the confusion. But eventually the opinion, it ended up that's not how we were supposed to. The prevailing opinion was that that's not necessarily how we should do it. There are other ways of actually registering trustees without going back and asking all the other people who resigned to send confirmation letters. Thank you.
Honourable members, Brand South Africa does have a cell phone allowance, and within that cell phone allowance there are caps for various positions and responsibilities for different individuals. Honourable Stein, I think we'll take into account we'll explore the usage of SIM cards when we go abroad and see whether it will suit the nature of our business going forward. I must just say, Honourable Stein, I think I missed your question around the personal cost. I quite didn't get it.
If you are done, Mr. Chairperson, can you close? Honourable Stein can meet the CFO and address it because we are really running out of time. We have another entity to come in.
Thank you, Chair. I just want to say thank you very much to the honourable members for the advice and counsel that you get from us, from yourselves, and for keeping us honest in terms of what it is that our mandate is. We really appreciate all the input because the Brand South Africa duty and mandate belongs to all of us. It's not just the organization that we represent, but it's every South African who is an individual who has this country's interest at heart. Therefore, we appreciate your input and we will endeavor to the best we can to ensure that our country is out there and we get all the positive energy around this brand which represents our country. Thank you very much for having heard us today.
Thank you very much, Brand SA. Thank you very much, honourable members, for being too honourable to me. This city is so sweet. Thank you very much. For now, the meeting is adjourned, but let's break for tea, honourable members, so that we'll take the other entities.